Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Is It Just Me? The podcast we like to think is like the news night of nonsense.
You've been saving that one.
I really have, haven't I? It's your weekly fix of me and Joe Elvin.
Hello.
And I'm James Williams, your other host. Yeah. So your weekly fix of us blathering on about all kinds of silly nonsense. But don't worry, it's not just us. We are, as always, joined by a lovely celebrity guest. And this week, well, I feel bad saying the word very old friend.
Okay.
She's talking already. I haven't even introduced her yet.
Shh. They've known each other since they were about four.
Exactly. Yeah. We were babes in arms. Yeah, we are joined by a very old friend of mine, a young lady I met, God, I want to say nearly 20 years ago. Possibly.
No, it probably was more than that. Yeah.
When you were one fifth of the now iconic band Steps, she joins us today in the pod cupboards because she's now going solo. We are delighted to be joined today on These Are Just Me by the lovely Claire Richard.
Hello. Oh, you didn't call me Claire from Steps.
No. Well, I was going to say AKA Claire from Steps.
But it's one part of you always cherish being Claire from Steps.
I am Claire from Steps. I can't.
Is that on your passport?
Yeah. You know, you can have alternative names.
I believed you though. Well,
but I'll never forget that I remember that was when Rylan, when you went on Celebrity Big Brother, didn't he literally just went, "It's Claire from Steps," like it was your actual name.
But that's what he doesn't just call me Claire ever. He always calls me Claire from Steps.
Well, it's quite funny because I saw A Star Is Born last night, you know, the Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga.
Oh, I'm so jealous. I'm never going to get to see it.
I went on my own the other day to the cinema and watched it.
It's good, isn't it? I mean, she's amazing. But the one line that really made me laugh was when he said, "You know when you become famous because people always use your full name."
Yes.
And I just thought...
Well, that isn't actually my name.
I don't think that's true. Claire, I think it's when they use one name.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, no, that's mega, like Kylie
that's
or
mega,
Beyonce.
Mega famous. Yeah. That's like, I think initially it's the full name. But it was funny because I actually thought of you during A Star Is Born. I thought, I'm going to talk to Claire about that, aka Claire from Steps.
Claire from Steps. Okay. Sorry, we keep saying it now, but it is fine. Claire Richards.
Could we say it any more times?
Yeah.
We've gone from not saying it.
I've got lots of split personalities.
Tell us about Claire Richards.
Yes.
Who has she become? What is she saying? Singing. What is she doing these days?
Claire Richards has recorded a song. <album. laughs>
Did you like that I forced you to do that really wanky thing of talking in the third person?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Eat your heart out, Craig David.
Yeah. I've recorded my debut solo album.
Congratulations.
You're so grown up.
I know. It's only taken me 23 years.
Well, you can't rush perfection.
No,
well,
exactly.
You know, do you know what? I don't actually think I would have been ready to do it before now. I thought I was. But it's taken me a long time to figure out what I actually wanted to sing and what I've tried. Over the years, Steve Anderson, who I worked with on this album, I've emailed him every now and again and said, "I've got it. I'm going to do country." Uh-huh. And he'd go, "Okay." And nothing would happen. "I've got it. I'm going to be the female Michael Bublé." Okay.
Not a bad thing to be.
Yeah.
Well, but, you know, nothing well,
then
ever
you're
really
only, you're
worked.
Only released at Christmas and, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Which, well, it's not a bad thing, I suppose. But, this time I managed to get my act together. And
we've had kind of a little snippets, haven't we? We've got two tasters from the album so far. We've had two singles.
Yeah, and there's another one that's on Spotify. It's called Deep Waters.
So for those that don't know, you can check it. It's on my own and Before We Start.
Yes.
Now, these are, what are these?
Really optimistic, happy titles.
Well, I was going to say, because what I like, well, what I find interesting about your songs are, you can interpret them in many ways, I guess. Mm. But, you know, I guess initially people would look at those titles and go, oh, it's about love and about, you know, basically, you know, losing somebody you love. But yep. You are probably one of, and Joe, you guys have a lot in common. Claire has been with her husband for how long?
Well, we've been married 10 years this year.
But together?
We've been together 15 or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know. And then we were together a bit before that.
Yeah, exactly. But that's a rarity, isn't it?
Oh, it's a slog, isn't it, Claire?
Oh, well, it's just easier.
Yeah. Or just take the one you know. What.
And I always, we had John Legend on the podcast a few moons ago.
Wow.
And I know.
And you're in very good company, Claire.
I was going to say. Well,
it just made me laugh when he said, oh, I'm never going to get divorced. I can't. No, that seems like a really giant pain. I'm not going to do that.
It is.
And I'm afraid that, yes, we're in love and everything, but you do have days you think, may as well stay together.
Just put it in.
My husband, he does say to me sometimes, you don't love me today, do you? I say, I always love you. I just don't like you very much.
Very disappointed in you today.
Yeah, I just don't like you today. You're getting on my nerves.
That's healthy. That's good, I think. Yeah. Also, just put it in a song. Get your frustrations out in a song. And is that what you've kind of done with these songs and with the album?
Well, I haven't. I've only actually written one song on this album because I find it quite difficult to write because it's gut-wrenching. You really have to reach really far. And I'm not entirely sure whether I want to spill my guts for everybody. But I am a huge fan of Karen Carpenter. She was my idol growing up. And I feel like she could interpret a song. She never wrote a song, ever. I feel like she could interpret a song and make you absolutely believe every single word she sang. Yeah. And that's what I wanted to do with this. So I've chosen, the songs that we've chosen are all songs that I absolutely love and felt that I could sing really well and also put my, you know, tell the story that the writer.
But you could sing anything. Come on.
Well, man. I don't know about that.
Well, look, going back to when you guys started out, I remember, you know, you guys were a pop band, out and out pop band, unashamedly so. And I remember back then in the 90s, I'm sorry, angel guy stuff, you know, pop bands were basically people that didn't sing, you know, or they didn't sing live, certainly they didn't tour. And you guys were always going up against that, weren't you? The fact that you could sing, you could deliver it live, and you ended up being one of the biggest, most successful live acts, and you still are.
Yeah, well, that was touring was always our thing. I think at the end of the day, we're all performers and we love being on stage. That's the thing that we love more than anything, and that was especially back then, that was the part of us that we could control a little bit, because you know, everything we did on stage was us, whereas the music necessarily, you know, we didn't really have a say back then. We do more now, but I don't know, I might have sung into a bent coat hanger a few times wrapped in electrical tape. I can't say that back then we
live every
always
time.
Were live.
Well, no. I'm shocked.
Well,
but we are
shocked.
Now. Like that, I can say that now. Yeah. On that the tour we did last year, every single night, every can single say, song was completely live.
I saw you guys in Greenwich and it was 2 hours of unadulterated pure joy. It just was. Everybody was, it was just in this day. In these days of Brexit and Trump, you need more steps in your life. I said
that's
everyone.
What I think.
Oh, you can't go wrong with a bit of
you
steps.
Can't.
Oh, no, you can't.
And it's just hit after hit after hit as well. It's like, you know.
But what's it like for you? Was there a time during that phase, like looking at the music that you're producing now, and the album's out February 1, I think, what's it called?
It's called My Wildest Dreams.
What is it, Your Wildest Dreams? Did you have moments on stage where you're thinking, God, this is great, but it's not everything I want to do. It's not everything I can do.
Maybe not on stage, but I always, it sounds awful, but the reason I auditioned to be in a band initially, because I was in a band before Steps as well, it was around about the time where Robbie left Take That and Jerry left the Spice Girls. And in my mind, as a teenager, I thought, oh, it's good to be in a band first. And then it gives you that foot on the ladder and to go solo. But it just never really happened. The band, we were really successful and that came to an end, and you know,
didn't hate each other and
you had your moments.
We had our moments,
But like family, it's all good again now.
Oh yeah, no, it's exactly. Better than ever now. And actually I think if we hadn't have split up when we did, we wouldn't
you're
still be doing it,
enjoying
now.
It a lot more
now. Because you know, we went through all that silly stuff and everything seemed so important back then, because it's when you're in your early 20s, that was it. Yeah. Our life was in that bubble, and now it isn't. You know, we've all got families, our priorities are completely different, so it makes it so much easier. But, you know, things happened and I never did the solo thing. So now it's kind of...
But did it take you a long time to feel properly confident on your own on stage?
I don't know. I'll tell you in a couple of months.
Because you are doing some dates, aren't you, as well?
Yeah, I'm doing four shows in December, in early December. But I did a thing for Radio 2 the other day. It was the first time I've performed on my own, I think, in probably since I did karaoke when I was 15.
And was it exciting or did you feel weird? Or?
It felt a bit... I mean, I have got a band and session, you know, backing singers and stuff. And I was really nervous. But actually, by the end of it, I quite like that. Yeah, it was good,
drag
it?
Her off.
Yeah, I'll do another one if you like.
And for the record, any Steps fans listening who are freaking out, Claire Richards solo does not mean the end of Steps.
Oh, absolutely not. No. It's just we were always... Well, when we did the album last year, I don't think any of us expected it to be as successful as it was. So beyond that, we had no plans. But, you know, as the year went on and the tour did so well and the album did so well, we all went... We're in for another album and another tour, so
you just
this
adding...
is just that we had to have this year off.
Yeah, but it felt like you were just adding more and more dates, wasn't it? Because people just kept wanting to see you again.
It does make you realise that you are that little bit older now, though. The little aches and pains kind of creep in, and you can't stay up quite as late as
no.
I used to back in the day. You'd come off stage, and the adrenaline would be still going, and it still does. But I find myself falling asleep much quicker.
But also, it must be harder when you're on the road all the time when you have a family. Mm. And I hate that. How do you juggle motherhood and working? I hate that question because
everybody
does don't get it. But yes, everybody does it. But I know that when I've had to travel for my work, you just miss everybody.
Yeah.
When you're in your 20s, it wasn't the same. It was kind of all you had to do was be with those people, and that's what you did. But now you've got this whole other.
It is strange, and I find it harder to actually, on the tour we did last year, I didn't come home. I think I came home one night after we did Wembley, but I deliberately, on days off, did not come home because I find that harder for me and for the kids as well, for me to be in and out.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going off for another week. I'm not going to see you again. So I found it easier just to kind of stay away
for
that month.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
Which it sounds awful, but it doesn't disrupt them as much because they got into a routine. Yeah. Exactly. Because that's the hardest thing, actually.
Ooh, that's a good name for a song,
Joe. I was just thinking, Matt.
Fewer goodbyes.
Fewer goodbyes.
Bank that one.
Yeah.
So for everyone listening, they can pre-order the album now. Is that right, Claire?
Yes. Yep. And there's all different. We've got a little box set deluxe version. You get a little candle, which I thought was quite nice. Yeah.
You are grown up.
I am grown up. That is a grown-up thing, isn't it? A candle.
It really is. And
it will go with the music I've heard as well.
Yes, it really does.
Yeah, it is.
It's in the bath, light your Claire candle, put your Claire album on.
And the reaction's been lovely, hasn't it? I'm just reading on the YouTube clips from reaction from fans and stuff. I mean, you must be really happy with how...
I am. It's really nerve-wracking. Obviously, it isn't Steps. And we have got a real core group of fans that would like whatever we put out, I think, because they've just been so loyal. But it's... I tried really, really hard to make sure it was good quality because that was the most important thing to me. I didn't want anybody... And I can honestly say, I don't think anyone could say it's rubbish. It might not be their cup of tea and that's fine, but I think we've done a really good job in just making it listenable.
No, congratulations. Yes. It is super. It's superb.
Really polished. Yeah. And your voice sounds incredible. It really does. So, go out there, pre-order that album right now, everyone. But Claire, now on to the main stage, the important stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to do some topics. Are you ready for this?
I am.
Okay, let's do it.
So I was thinking about this, and is it just me that doesn't particularly enjoy baking with their children?
I feel there's a story here, Claire.
Well, I feel really, really bad because I like the time spent, but it really makes me feel quite anxious. Whenever my daughter, especially. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm going to be teaching.
I'm out of this phase now, but I completely get it. And what is it? It's something about, it's that stereotypical, idyllic picture that when you're pregnant, you kind of think about, I'm going to spend Sundays baking with my child. And the reality is a face full of flour and you scraping crud off the floor for the next six days.
Finding sugar everywhere for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
And my daughter is quite, she's only eight, but she's very, I want to do it on my own. I don't want you to help me, which is not an option at all because she can't do it. She's not stuff ends up everywhere, and we just end up falling out.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it because you fall out with an 8-year-old? It's ridiculous.
But is it because you're a perfectionist?
I think so. Yeah. I am a bit of a control freak as well.
I was terrible. I'm like, no, not like that. All right, you can stir it. No, not like that. And so you end up making your child feel terrible.
No, yeah. It's awful.
Or you bake two very separate ones and make a point of going, that's not mine.
Yeah.
Or I just do it and go, oh, look what Daisy made.
But that's the thing, because if I'm baking, I want to eat it. And then you can see what your child's doing. You think, I am not going to eat that.
I'm not eating
this
that.
This is a complete waste of time and food. Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit like letting your kids dress themselves, I would imagine, though, right? Because sometimes, I remember my mum always saying my sister, when she started to sort of, you know, exert her like independence and wanted to dress herself, she was really young, and she literally came down like she had just run through a jumble sale, like all different colours, fabrics.
But I love seeing that.
Yeah, and some, really especially when they're really small, when they're kind of two and a half, and they, you know, there's wellies and a tutu. And
marigolds.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
That's great.
A crash helmet.
It's when they're 11.
Honest, that's proper street style.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
It's when they're 11 and they come down stairs with a pair of shorts with palm trees all over them and a t-shirt with minions all over it and a completely different color pair of trainers. That's where I kind of put my foot down.
Are your kids at a point now whereby, where do they feel about your career and about steps? Do they think it's cool, or do they think it's really naff and embarrassing?
No, they still think it's quite good.
Oh, good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cling on to that, Claire.
Charlie, yeah, I know, I am clinging for dear life. He wanted to come to see us in one of our summer concerts rather than go to his football presentation this year, which I was
That's
quite
huge.
Yeah, that is massive.
Did you let him?
No. Oh. No, I was a bit mean. No, he went to his football. No, because
she's
thought,
a disciplinarian. I like it.
Well, I know. I feel like that's quite important. Yeah. I didn't want him to miss out on getting his medal and stuff.
So is he quite sporty then?
Yeah, he is actually. Yeah. He does. And
no sign of him following in your footsteps going down the singing.
Well, they both think that I think that's the only downside to them enjoying it, is that they think that it's that easy.
Right, yeah.
But that reminds me of this time we had a shoot when we were at Glamour with Rita Ora. Mm. And my daughter wanted to miss her ballet prize giving to come and meet Rita Ora. And I had to say, do you think that Rita Ora would have missed anything to do with dancing? Like, she just thought about a head exploding with sort of like the dilemma. It's like, but no. Yeah. So yeah,
that's a really good argument. I'm going to use that. I've never thought of that.
But this is, I guess, the bigger argument here, I guess, is, I mean, you know, you often get people asking, you know, you see these deluded people on shows like The X Factor and they think they can sing and they think they've got these talents. That is because, I would argue, there are parents at home that maybe aren't like you, that are basically telling their children they can do everything and everything they do is brilliant. And and it's this whole thing about no one gets prizes at school anymore. You know, there's no second, first or first, second and third.
No.
So I'm assuming you don't agree with that side of things.
No, I would make a useless judge, because I can't, there's no, if somebody can't do something, they should, it's nicer or kinder to just say, no, you're no good.
Like, you'd make a bloody great judge.
Yeah, you would.
I just balls of steel, Richards.
Well, I don't know about that. I probably would completely.
But I would argue.
Out.
I mean, it's easy for me to say I'm not a parent, but I would argue if I did have a kid that literally couldn't do something they really wanted to do, I would try and I wouldn't go out my way to say how bad they were.
No,
I would actively encourage them at something else that I knew they were good at.
Well, I think I just try to point out that you can do anything you want to, but you have to really work
hard.
At it.
Yeah,
you
there
know,
is
I
that.
Mean, I kind of did have to point out to my daughter that Taylor Swift picked up a guitar at 3 years old. You know, it's like, you've got to put in the hours. Yeah. She didn't just come out of a box like that.
So, my kids are quite confident though.
And are they? That's
good
though.
Like, I remember Charlie, probably when he was 3 or 4, and I said to him, oh, you know, do you want to go dance classes? No, mummy, I can already dance. I watched Peppa Pig yesterday.
Amazing.
And it's, but he's like that with everything.
But is it annoying that he actually is really good at it?
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I think he's definitely got his father's confidence.
Well, that'll take him a long way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't get fazed by anything, which is great.
That is good.
That is, it's, and I admire that in him.
How do you feel though about, because I guess, you know, when you guys started off, obviously, you know, it was before The X Factor, before Pop Idol, all that kind of stuff. And you guys did the graft. I mean, I remember your schedules were insane. Like, you know, the amount of TV shows you would do here and then in Europe and then going off to the States and touring with Britney Spears and all. I mean, I remember, you know, you guys were literally like...
So impressive.
It was. And, you know, back then, pop acts were literally... Well, you were flogged.
Well, you had to.
Yeah, you had to
you
work
so... You had to,
so.
Because that was the way, you know, it's... It is a very, very different world. And I don't understand it as much. And people do watch The X Factor and go, oh, well, it's that easy to be famous. And I think a lot of people do it because they just want to be famous. Yeah. It's more about the celebrity rather than having a talent and being prepared to work hard to get what you want. And we had no choice, especially because people thought we were a novelty act. And I suppose we kind of were with the first single, 5, 6, 7, 8. Was not, you know, it wasn't cool by any stretch. But we used to go to do we did the club tours. So imagine the night before they'd had another level doing whatever they did. And then we'd turn up and with all our packs to the audience, I always remember, and the fiddle starts and you could see all of us kind of take a big deep breath, big sigh, and your kind of head would go, and then you'd, you know, into, yeah. I still remember my position. And they would all turn around and do 5, 6, 7, 8. And I think most people were so shocked by what we were doing that by the end of it, they loved it. They were just, I don't really understand what's happening, but I'm going with it. So yeah, we worked hard.
You did.
And I think it's not easier for people, because on the flip side now, X Factor, it's like an instant fame, yeah. And they are, especially if they get to the live shows, they are so famous for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit beyond that, but then that's it.
And then that's
what
brutal.
Do you do? Yeah. That's hard.
And I guess you guys as well had the, well, I would argue, you know, you had the sort of the innocence of not having to do it in front of like social media, for example, as well.
No.
You know, that
thank
was,
God, we
yeah.
never had that.
But you also then did have the tabloid press, didn't you? And I guess back then the tabloid press were a lot more ferocious, and Paps in particular were always.
Yeah, but I'd never really felt that we suffered with that too much. You know, there was never any pictures of us falling out of China or
no,
Titanic
true.
Or, you know, anything like that. Yeah, we were always working. We never had fun. Yes, there were stories written about us that weren't very nice sometimes, but it would take a week for it to get into the paper most of the time.
Well, like now it's like immediate.
Yeah, and it's instant. You can't go anywhere without it being, you know, you're checking it. You do something in the morning, then you're checking online to see if it's made, anywhere, the photos or anything. It's very strange.
And so going back to kind of what we were talking about with this, you know, baking with the kids, how do you feel about your kids with social media and stuff? Are you going to manage that, or how do you cope with that?
They ask constantly if they can join this or join that. And my son and his friends they have Instagram, but between themselves.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I monitor it really closely, but I don't want them to be subjected to the trolls and it's scary, actually. The kids, the bullying through social media is
through
so scary. My daughter wanted Snapchat because she liked all the filters and wanted to make herself look like a unicorn, and that's fine, but I haven't even got Snapchat. I don't understand it. I don't want to be part of that world. I mean, to a certain extent, Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, it's part of our work and what we do for a living. So, and it helps with that. But for kids, I don't really.
Yeah, it's funny. My 13-year-old has already clocked that Instagram doesn't make her particularly feel very good. Mm-mm. So she's not really engaged with it.
No.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Stick to baking.
Yeah.
Going back to our original
suck
point.
Suck it up, Claire,
all the more
and bake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Treasure those moments of baking, Claire.
Just avoid the thing with my daughter who she once insisted on making a cake from a recipe in her head.
Oh, wow.
And that thing came out of the tin with big lumps of actual fried egg hanging out of it. And I actually did put some in my mouth and it tasted like a bathroom sponge.
Oh.
Yeah.
But her cooking's improved since then.
Yeah, she can do a scone now. I mean, it still involves me cleaning the kitchen for the next 3 days. But
I'm quite impressed because my son's just started secondary school and they are actually doing home economics.
Oh, good.
He's made something every single week.
I thought that was like dying out, but I'm glad.
Well, I thought it did.
It's making a comeback.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
No, he's
good
making spag. Oh, no, he's making a pizza this week.
Oh, nice.
Spaghetti bolognese next week.
Do you want us
Well,
do you want to taste it first?
He keeps leaving it at school, so don't ask.
Well, look, if you are sat at home going, that's awful. I always bake my kids. What are you guys talking about? You know we love hearing from you guys, so do drop us your email your emails with your thoughts on the show. It's isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com. And this week we had a very lovely email. In fact, I've had an email of support, Joe, because we talked about me being basically essentially rather stupid. I can't tell left from right, Claire.
I don't see the emails. You could be making that up.
Did you email yourself?
I emailed the show myself. Anyway, this is from a lovely Amanda Prados, I think that's how you say it. And she just said, dear Joe and James, I love your podcast. I do lots of driving and love my Tuesday morning journeys as I get to listen to you both. I've almost written in lots, but today, James, you had me shouting at the radio. It isn't just you. I too am rubbish at left and right and always have been.
I'm not reassured that you're out on the roads there, Amanda.
She drives a lot.
In her defense, she goes on to say, the exception being weirdly, when I'm driving, then I never get it wrong.
Well,
anyway,
thank goodness for that.
I know. Well, look, Amanda, I appreciate your support. And I'm glad to know that I'm not alone in this. But like I said, everyone, if you are listening, do send us your emails. If you have any suggestions for topics or guests you want to see on the show, the email address again is isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com. Right, next up today, ladies, Is It Just Me, who basically goes out of my way to actually schedule a call to a service provider with the firm knowledge I'm going to have a real sort of sanging match and a set to.
Why the scheduling?
Yeah.
Talk me through
I like to think, do you know a bit like when you deliberately schedule like a cry? So like for me, I will watch Long Lost Family or DIY SOS knowing I'm going to be in floods of tears.
Okay. Like a serious diarizer.
I actually did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did that. I deliberately went to the cinema on my own to watch A Star Is Born because I knew that I was going to have a really, really good cry.
See?
So actually,
right.
I get that.
You get where I'm coming from. Yep. Now, so then on the flip side, you're feeling a bit stressed and you're a bit like, oh, you've got all this anger, frustration, you've had a bad commute or you've just had a bad day at work and you've had that thing, that niggling thing that your TV's not working properly or your internet's on the blink or in my case, my windows weren't working properly this weekend.
Your windows?
Well, my sash window, I mean, this is a very middle class problem you've got coming up here.
What kind of service provider do you call to sort your windows out?
Well, I don't look out the more you can't, right?
This is the problem. No, my sash window, literally, I opened it and it just fell straight down and I could not get it shut. So I had to try and find an emergency person to come and sort this window out.
A sash window emergency.
I told you it was middle class.
That's a posh problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, but this window, even though they came out and they kind of fixed it, it's not been right. You know,
but was it their fault that it was broken in the first place?
No, they
don't take their side, Claire.
I know, Claire.
Well, oh, no, okay.
We go way back. You don't know Aspect Windows. They're nothing to you. I mean more. So basically, they came, they did a job and they were supposed to order a part and come back. And then they basically just didn't come back. So I have a kind of half job.
Okay,
done.
Now I...
Right. Back of my head, on an unconscious level, I've known I've had this going on. And I keep going, must ring those people, must ring the window people, get it sorted. And in a weird way, I think I've unconsciously done it at a point when I really knew I wanted to have a go at them. So on Saturday, I made the call. And I hate to say it, I really enjoyed having the argument. And
did you rip a few new assholes?
I tore quite a few new assholes and quite a few strips.
Yeah.
But is that really bad? Am I a really awful person? Am I alone in this?
Well, no, I don't think you're bad. But I think that I would act... I enjoy acting on impulse in those angry moments. I enjoy making the call when I'm at the moment that I'm really angry, not going... Oh, I must tick those people off at some point this week.
I'm more psychotic, aren't I?
I had this with a washing machine deliverer, and they promised that it was missing a part at delivery, and they said, we'll come back. And I stalked this guy until he came back. I mean, I'm not
You've
ashamed
got to
say.
Sometimes.
I was like,
well, you have to, I think.
I was like a good couple of hours every 10 minutes going, where are you? You really do need to come back. You need to come back today, to the point where it was going to be more efficient for him to just deal with this pain in the ass of a woman and go and do it rather than ignore me.
Well, I'm only half joking when I say there is a, shall we say, large television service provider that I think has me like flagged. Whenever I ring up, there's that initial thing when I go to say something and they kind of initially go, well, we can't do that. And they go, what? And they go, oh, sorry, Mr. Williams, of course, we can do that for you. I think I'm literally like on a terrorist list. Like, as far as they're concerned, I'm like a red flag. It's like, don't argue with this man, because I have had some humdinger of slanging matches.
I don't like calling people.
Right.
So I am a bit more of a passive aggressive tweeter.
But that's such a secret weapon when you are famous, because they don't want Claire from Steps, Claire Richards out there slagging off their service providers on Twitter. But
never,
me, they don't care.
Well, I think they do, Because even I've done it quite a few times, and I have got myself a little bit of a reputation amongst my followers now. But I never outright ask a question. I always put it in a real passive aggressive kind of, what do you have to do to get blah, blah, to
call you back?
To call you back, or to fix this, or to do that. And oh my God, it's not working again.
See, I was
and they contact you immediately. It's amazing.
See, I was at my wit's end with this window company on Saturday, and I did think, right, I might tweet them. And then I suddenly realized, no, because you don't tweet enough anymore. I've kind of lost my Twitter mode. My Twitter mojo. So I then thought, I don't want to be my, because sometimes it comes up as, oh, so and so has tweeted for the first time in a while. And I thought, I don't want all my followers suddenly getting like a Aspect Windows, why haven't you come back and fixed my sash window? I just thought, that's going to get you unfollowed. That's not exciting.
My followers just think I'm a bit technically stupid. It's normally about some kind of technical problem. And they just like, oh, you don't have much luck with technical stuff.
Oh, God,
do you, Claire?
That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
That's annoying. But yeah, but if
my problem gets
you,
sorted, then I actually don't care.
I do need to embrace, but I quite enjoy the phone time and the phone rant. I do like it.
See, I really, because then I feel really bad afterwards, or I've been on hold for so long that by the time I actually speak to somebody, I'm so over it that I'm not angry anymore.
But see, I like that because I then give them feedback on their hold music. Like on Saturday, for example, I said, and by the way, on top of everything else, your whole music is diabolical.
I'm sure, do you know, I can't
that
remember.
That would have been a massive eye roll for me at the end of that call.
Adding insult to this injury, your whole music is abominable.
There was definitely one, I can't even remember who the service provider was, but I think it may have been insurance, but I had I'm Horny, Horny, Horny on repeat for about 3 hours. It didn't even change the song. I don't know.
I wonder if
it's really weird.
I wonder if they were trying to make you horny.
I reckon they do. They do it.
Yeah. They were trying to chat you up.
I just want you to hang up because, it's one of those songs that
that's hilarious.
Oh, no. That's like.
I bet they do. Because once you've heard it so many times, you hang up.
Yeah, no, there's definitely something. Because if they varied it, it would make it a more pleasant experience. But yeah, when it's the same thing the music they had on Saturday was like a very depressed Hovis ad. You know, that kind of really like whiny, melodic, like Last of the Summer Wine theme tune. It was awful. So am I alone?
I don't know what to say to that.
I kind of want to say you are.
I'm alone.
Yeah.
it's the scheduling. I'm afraid it's probably you're probably wiser than me, but if I'm that angry I have to act on impulse. I don't get pick up the phone and scream and shout and swear, but it just focuses me that
see,
anger.
See, I'm insane. I even work out the script in my head beforehand. I'm like, literally, I've got it all down pat.
Maverick on it. I wonder what I'm going to say to this poor person at this service provider.
But if you're that angry, I find it really, you shouldn't swear at people.
No,
I never swear.
But I find it really difficult not to. Yeah. Not.
Oh, I think it's much more powerful to just be firm. Yes.
Because the second you swear on a service complaint call, you lose all respect, and they can technically put the phone down.
I've had someone swear at me before.
Oh, as in
really?
On the other side.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then you get to complain
really
about them.
Oh my God.
You must really wind people up.
I know.
That's so great.
Because I just go on and on.
Can I just tell you the funniest thing I ever saw was recently in a well-known pharmacy, and it was the people in front of me, and this woman started saying to the cashier, sort of saying, "Well, you're an effing useless cow." And then she said this a couple of times, and I thought, wow, I'm amazed that she didn't shut down. And then the cashier started saying, "Well, you're an effing useless cow as well." And it was just one of the most, it was better than telly. I mean,
better than EastEnders.
I suppose you could go to, you know, some people would say, what a sad indictment of the degradation of polite society. But I was like, no, this is actually quite hilarious.
You were like pulling up a chair.
Yeah. Kind of was. Yeah.
You don't want to drag yourself away.
I was really, I was
go in front of me. It's okay.
I was rooting for the cashier in this instance. I thought, yeah, this is, that's uncalled for. And I love that she gave it back. And then somebody else had to come up and go, "Janice, please don't talk to the customers that way." It was amazing.
Well, Janice, if you're listening, Joe loves you.
Yeah.
Well done, Janice.
Well done, Janice.
She was an effing rude cow.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Right, Claire Richards, James Williams. Is it just me who would, if they could, take a nice, lovely afternoon nap every day?
You're so continental right now, Joe.
Or is it just Nana? Am I just a Nana?
Well, no, it's a very sort of Spanish Mediterranean thing to do, isn't it? To go nap.
Yeah, because well, the hot part of the
Must
day.
Be my Mediterranean.
But do they actually nap?
Well,
see, I know do I they? Do.
See, I like
what
the idea.
What are they really doing?
Ooh.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm horny. Horny.
Yeah, is it code for things I should be doing when I'm having my 2-hour nap?
I always feel like there's so much to do in a day that if I had a nap, I know it wouldn't be short.
But that's just going to bed. Though.
Yeah, well, exactly. I'd rather just go to bed early.
I like to argue that, but then when I'm awake, I'm so much more productive because I'm bright and bushy-tailed and irritable.
I feel like sleeping during the day makes me more tired.
I'm with you.
You get that kind of, we always just call it airport syndrome. You know, really early for a flight and then you just feel really weird for the rest of the day.
But I've reached an age where if we're going out on a Saturday night, it is mandatory that I have a little sleep in the
disco
afternoon.
Disco nap.
Absolutely. It's just non-negotiable.
See,
I'm sorry.
I just have to push through.
You've got younger children. When your children are a little bit older and they're just not, sort of as demanding on your time, you will find that.
Yeah, I suppose when they were young, I did, my favourite part of the day was the nap time.
Their nap.
When they napped.
And they weren't clanging around with the baking implements.
Messing up icing.
I
think napping is something, it's a bit like, I don't know, it's like singing, Claire. You can either do it or you can't do it. You know what I mean? I think
I could do it right now, no offence.
Well, no one likes to brag, Joe. Yeah.
I do find myself saying quite a few times in the day, oh God, I could just go sleep right now, like right here.
But I'm with you.
But I never do.
If I went to nap, I weirdly feel more groggy. I don't feel, it just doesn't work.
And I probably wouldn't get up and then get on with loads of stuff. I would just sit and watch TV for the rest of the day.
Oh God, I love it. But what's wrong with you?
Well, my friends who can nap, they can literally shut their eyes for 10 minutes and they fall asleep like that and then they feel amazing.
See, I feel like people that say they do that are lying.
I don't think they are because I can't do 10, but I can do 20 minutes and feel great afterwards.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm so
envious. And how many hours at night do you sleep? Do you go to bed at
about 7?
Do you go to bed late or
I go to bed usually about 11.
Okay.
And wake up about 6:30-ish.
What, are you an early to bed?
No, we normally go to bed between 10:30 and 11.
Yeah.
And I set an alarm
generally
for 7.
Sleep before then. Yeah.
No, sometimes I can, but if I do, then I wake up early. But we set an alarm for 7 for school, and my alarm always wakes me up.
Oh wow! Sure.
And I feel rubbish in the morning. I'm not a morning person at all. I never have been.
I was never a morning person, and I've forced myself, and now weirdly I get up at 6 now. And
there are normally days leading up to Christmas where I've got so much going on in my head that I will wake up at 6 or 6:30 and I get up and it's still dark outside and I do a few things and I feel really proud of myself that I've gotten up early and I've done
stuff.
Well,
I'm going on holiday next week and if anybody wakes me up before 10 o'clock they're going to get a punch in the face. everybody knows.
But I was going to say, holidays is when my napping inadequacies really bite me on the arse, I feel like. Because if you go, say, somewhere like Greece, for example, with a gang of friends and they're all nappers, so what happens is there's a point in the day where they start drinking during the day and then they go off to bed and then you're just sort of sat there with like
still
2 hours or 3 hours and then the danger is then you keep drinking by yourself.
Read a book.
And then they wake up refreshed / sober and you're just there sozzled and like, you know.
Read a book. Open your mind to some Greek culture.
Well, I do that, but I'm
Have a swim.
It makes holiday days very much longer when you can't nap.
Oh, yeah.
I know, boo-hoo, poor me.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
I'm envious of the nappers. I wish I could nap, but
so I don't know. I feel like I would be much less productive if I napped.
Who's with me? I need to hear some emails so that I don't feel like the laziest
person. Oh, you won't be.
Because honestly, my husband and daughter are not nappers either. Oh. And there's like, there's this about 4:30 on a Saturday afternoon, there's always a sarcastic, "Oh, are you going for a lie down? Well, this is interesting." God, that's wow. That's,
now, see, yeah, is there a difference between actually deliberately going to your bedroom for a lie down, knowing that you're going to nap, or just kind of falling asleep on the sofa?
I can't do that because there's too much noise.
See, I can do that.
What?
I have done that sometimes.
As in your cat nap on the sofa?
Rarely.
Right.
If I've had a late night or something the night before. Oh, yeah.
No, I can't only do that. But if I'm in my room with the door shut and the curtains closed,
see, I would feel so guilty.
4 minutes and I'm out. Yeah, oh, no, don't say that. No, sorry. I don't mean guilty.
You're being nap-shamed right here.
Some people, I mean, if only I had the time, says Claire. Like you.
I don't. I probably waste so much time during my day doing absolutely needless, ridiculous things.
Well, also, I'd probably
be better having a nap.
As a natural napper, I've wasted time trying to nap. So I've done that thing where I've gone, okay, everyone says it's really good for you. So I go up and I lie there. And I just lie there getting really frustrated going, I can't nap, can't fall asleep. And it just gets, so it's actually just a waste of my time.
But do you
nap.
Sleep well at night time?
Yeah, I do actually. Yeah, on the whole, I do. So, you know, I think maybe it's a bit like everything. Sleep is a weird, it's a very personal thing, I think. Sleep. Some people need 8 hours, some people need six, you know, some people need naps.
It's quite terrible, isn't it, that I can have a 4 p.m. till 5:30 nap and then happily go back to bed at the normal time. Of course, sleep.
There's a lot going on, Jo.
It's a busy world in which we live.
Well, look, I guarantee there'll be lots of people out there listening going, yes, of course, Jo, I'm a big napper too, so... Please send Joe.
We'll have a group nap together.
Like a big sort of charity.
Could be a thing. Like nap pods.
Yeah. Oh, that they did try to do that.
Let's have an Instagram nap Japanese. Session, and you can all email me, and we can all time each other's naps and admonish each other's laziness
and sleepy selfies of each other.
Get someone to take a photo. Yeah.
Get a hashtag going. well, on that lovely note, it's time for our naps.
Yeah.
Claire, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's so lovely to see you.
It's been a pleasure to see you. And everybody, pre-order My Wildest Dreams, which is out on February 1. And you've got a tour coming up.
Yes.
Tell us about the dates.
So the first week in December, and I'm playing Union Chapel in London, which is quite exciting. I'm doing Glasgow, Birmingham and Liverpool.
It's probably sold out already, right?
I don't know. I think there's a few left for you.
There's a few left, everyone.
Where can they go get tickets, Claire?
They can go to my website and there is a link there.
What is that website?
You straight through. It's www.clairerichardsofficial.co.uk.
Go there now and get your tickets. Claire, lovely to see you. Good luck with everything on the album and hopefully we'll see you again very soon.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
Take care.
Thank you. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.